This is Infants on Thrones, the philosophies of men mingled with humor. We are the Quorum.
Welcome back to another episode of Infants on Thrones. My name is Tom Perry. So if any of you out there listen to a lot of podcasts like I do, you might notice the same thing that I've recently noticed. There seems to be one perspective that we really don't hear from much. We hear a lot from adults who have lost their faith and what they've experienced going through that process. But here's the thing. Many of these individuals are adults, and many of them are married and even have kids. Have you ever thought about what the kids must be experiencing and thinking while watching their own parent or parents stop believing and attending in the LDS church? So let's say, for example, that there was this guy who experienced a crisis of faith a few years ago while serving on the state high council. Then he abruptly stops attending church for a while. He then later returns to church as a form of compromise to make his marriage and his relationship with his spouse work. He's come out to a few people about no longer believing, including his spouse, but yet he hasn't quite come out to his kids and many others. Let's say this guy has 3 kids, and his oldest daughter is going to be graduating from primary soon and entering the young women's program. He and his spouse decide that now is the time that he needs to come out to his kids. Coming out to his wife was the most difficult person to come out to. But coming out to his kids is a very close second. Many of you have heard his perspective and his side of the story. Many of you have probably even heard his wife's side of the story. But let me ask you this. Have you heard his daughter's perspective? Would you like to hear her perspective of what happened and how it affected her and her life? My oldest daughter was required to write an essay for her college AP English class in her senior year of high school. She was told to write on a pivotal event that changed her and changed her way of thinking from then on. She chose to write about the time that I came out to her as a non-believer. So in today's episode, I'll be sitting down with my oldest daughter and talking to her about that essay, reflecting back on that moment when I came out to her over 5 years ago. You know, hearing her side of things really makes me think about my own crisis of faith in a whole new light, about how that moment really did shift things, not just in my own life, but especially in my daughter's life. So first, I will read her written essay, and then after that, we'll transition to our conversation. Okay, I'm going to try my best to read her essay without butchering it. It's titled, "The Religious Influence on My Life." I would not consider myself to be a particularly spiritual person. It took me a few years to finally convince myself of how I felt concerning the religious section of my life. And at 17, I am only starting to get a handle on it. I was raised in Utah, and a large part of the Utah culture is the Mormon population. My family and my youth considered themselves to be a part of the Latter-day Saints. Being as young as I was, I didn't think to question what I was raised to believe. I was baptized into the church at 8, which is expected of members, and continued following the path that was set before me. It was a naive lifestyle, never deciding where I wanted my life to go, or being able to form my own opinions about anything. If I had questions, I could ask my parents, or church leaders, or even God, and everything would be answered. Life was peaceful. As I readied myself for young women's, which is the next section of the faith for female youth, I noticed that my father didn't always attend church weekly, as he had done previously. On occasion, I'd be allowed to stay home with him, And it was very clear to me how much happier I became when I did not have to attend the weekly church meetings. I had not originally thought that the church was causing me anxiety, but without it, it became very clear that it was. In fact, I was beginning to have doubts in the church and its teachings, but I had no idea what to do with those feelings. Questioning the fundamentals of the church felt strange, and I did not know what to do. I grew up with what I like to call, quote, ghost sickness, which would later be identified as gastroesophageal reflux disease, which was made worse by my anxiety. I would wake up frequently at 2 or 3 in the morning and spend the remaining time unable to sleep or relax with waves of nausea and vomiting until about 7 a.m. when I would mysteriously feel healthy once again. I remember spending those painful hours praying fervently, promising anything for my uneasy stomach to calm. I refused to accept that my faith was being tested through this reoccurring pain. How could any being knowingly let people suffer just to prove how much they loved him? It seemed incredibly selfish to me. Even understanding what I was experiencing was very minor compared to daily struggles others encountered. Knowing my entire family and extended family was Mormon was enough to convince me to keep my doubts to myself. Even at school, I was surrounded by my Mormon friends. I felt I did not have a choice but to continue what I was starting to see as the greatest performance of my life. The Saturday before my first Sunday as a young woman, my father came and had a private conversation with me about his doubts in the church and the events that had been occurring. He had expressed his doubts and questions to a church leader and experienced ridicule and felt more lost than he had before sharing his thoughts. I'm not completely sure I understood what that meant at the time, but I was mostly surprised that my father, a man I seriously looked up to, was starting to pull away from the church. He was moving away from the only path that I had known. A close relative leaving the church provoked me to think more seriously on what I was feeling, thinking that with my father moving away from the faith, maybe I could too. Wanting to appease my mother, I continued to attend the weekly church meetings. Every Sunday, I would get a terrible feeling in my gut. And the only relief I found was knowing once I got home, it would be another 7 days before I needed to return. I had lost faith in a God because believing that I was in charge of my destiny brought me great peace. Believing that I am in charge of my destiny, and it is up to me to make good in the world for the people that will come after, is what got me going in the morning. I like thinking that due to crazy chance, humans evolved. And what we do with that chance is up to us. The LDS faith brings happiness and support to others, but not to me. My doubts were expanding, and I was approaching a breaking point that had fissures years in the making. The final straw was on a Sunday when I wanted to leave early with my father, who was also there to appease my mother. As I was leaving, one of my young women leaders came to me and asked to speak with me. I was weary, but not concerned, until I found myself pinned against the wall. She told me I was disappointing God, for he needed me to be at church for my own sake and my father's. I quickly left the building and shortly burst into tears. Being forced into a situation like that by someone I trusted created immense anxiety, and I could not bring myself to return for over a month. I was continued to be pressured by different leaders and youth. Rather than attending more like they had hoped, I became more reserved. A large percentage of the school body of the junior high and high school I attended was a part of the Mormon faith and did not look too kindly to outsiders, no matter what they claimed. I felt like I was keeping a big secret, and I attempted to escape through my books. Reading took up any and all of my free time. I discovered a large range of topics this way, spending hours, if not days, immersed in varying reading material. I even dipped a bit into the philosophical world. If I did not believe in the church's belief of the creation of the universe, how did it all start? I felt I was given an opportunity to figure out where I stood, what my beliefs were, what I wanted to believe. I had time to explore my interest in science, health, and fiction writing. I was thrilled to perform a bit of soul searching. With this time to nourish my love of learning, I quickly discovered my firm beliefs in equality amongst genders and expanding knowledge on mental disorders. Knowing how I felt about those issues helped increase my confidence, especially once backed with knowledge behind the subject. I felt I could properly defend my side of the argument. I felt I had a voice that could be respected. I also now believe that my opinions on mental health and equality stem from the church as well. I had long seen the inequality between genders in the church, but I had not started to realize what it was until I had time to devote to researching the topic. I was infuriated with how women were treated in the church. And that has just spurred me on my path away from the church and its teachings. I felt that unless something changed in the actuality of the church teachings, whether it be in how the members treated each other or in the way the youth were taught, I could not be part of it. Being a part of the church meant that you were happy. If you were struggling, you had God at your side as long as you were being faithful. Not everyone is as perfect as they would hope, and having these intense molds to fill is incredibly stressful. I know that stress firsthand, as I would feel increasingly unable to feel that ideal individual expected of me. Just recently, I felt confident enough to open up to a few close friends, and I found I did not need to fear as much as I had. Many of my friends accepted the choice I had made to leave the church. I was surprised with the amount of support I received from friends I had automatically hidden from after, quote, falling from the faith. I had certainly changed from the person I was before leaving the church. It has not just been years that changed me. I've experienced new life experiences and encountered trials that I had never expected. I hope that taking the next few steps in the direction of figuring out who I am and where I want my life to go will continue to bring me closer to the happiness that I crave. Forging a new path will most certainly not be easy, but without making your own way in life, how will you ever know who you truly are as a person? I do not believe myself to be a member of the LDS faith anymore. Without those standards guiding me and without the leaders that accompany it, a lot of my life has been left up to me. I am malleable putty within the hands of a still, inexperienced crafter. Just because I am inexperienced now does not mean that I cannot discover more and become a knowledgeable and prosperous member of society. All it will take is more time and more work on my part. Even with all the difficulties I have faced, I would not trade the challenges that have been a result of my choices. Everything that has happened to me has been integral in leading me to where I am today. And without them, I would not be the same person I am today. And I would not trade that for the world. I'm here with my oldest daughter. How's it going?
What's up?
And the reason why I wanted to sit down and talk with you was because you had a homework assignment that you did recently. It was for your English class, right?
Yeah, my intermediate college writing, blah, blah, blah. I cannot remember the name of the class for the life of me. Neither can the professor, so we're all good.
But the topic for the essay that you needed to pick, explain that.
It was a narrative essay, first-person narrative about a moment in your life that changed the way you think.
Okay. And then I remember when you were brainstorming ideas, and it wasn't until you had actually decided that you told me what it was.
Yeah, well, I didn't think about it for very long, actually.
You didn't?
No, because I was like, the biggest thing that changed and has, like, drastically changed my life, would have been the point where I felt comfortable with the doubts I'd had knowing that you were leaving the church. The day you came and taught, like, it will forever, I remember exactly how that went down. Just sitting in my room, and you were like, hey, can I talk to you? And I know it was like a couple of days or the day before I was going to go into Young Women's.
Yeah.
I remember I sat down with you, and that changed, it changed a lot for me because I was like, I was pretty sure I had doubts. I know that you weren't as churchy as I had remembered.
But you don't have any recollection of like me even like even starting to.
No, I
Oh,
remember
you
that. I
do?
remember
'Cause
staying
you
home.
remember the High Council stuff too, right?
And I remember staying home and watching Signs.
Oh, the movie?
Yeah, I remember
Why is that
that.
in your memory? Where does that
Because
come
that
from?
movie scared me so bad.
That's about as random as it gets. Like, how does that relate?
Well, because it was a day, I thought it was so crazy because I was like, oh, I gotta stay home from church.
Oh,
Like,
was
oh,
it on
goodness.
a Sunday we watched it?
Yeah.
Oh, that would
Mason and I
explain.
curled up in blankets on the couch watching Signs, and I was terrified. I started figuring out where the water came from, just splashing and all the. Whatever. That was
Okay.
crazy. Yeah, it was
That's
crazy.
funny.
Still not a big fan of horror movies. That's probably not the cause of it, though.
Okay. So yeah, you have recollection of when I was really
Yeah.
plugged in.
Yeah. But I also kind of thought it was normal because, you know, people don't go to the church all the time, anyways. Don't really talk about church with friends when you're 12. That's not a big, huge topic of conversation. So I didn't really think anything of it. But I had had serious doubts for a while by that point.
Which is interesting because even in the essay, when I was reading that, almost all that, as far as I know, was pretty internalized on your end, right?
Yeah.
Because you didn't,
Well,
I mean,
because.
because you and I have always been really good
Yeah,
about
but I didn't
talking.
realize it was something you could talk about. Well, because I was
It
trying to,
was.
like, everyone was like, oh, yeah, no, there's, you know, we just believe everything. I was like, right? What does belief feel like? Because like, I was so young. I was like, oh, everyone believes in it, but how do, I don't know what that feels like. I remember going up to girls' camp even, they're like, all right, now, when you feel the spirit, it'll be a warm fuzzy in your heart, and just when it happens, you say, I feel the spirit.
And I
And I remember
remember,
looking around and I'm like, I don't know what that's supposed to feel like.
because I actually remember you asking me if I've ever felt the spirit or what it feels
Because
like.
I didn't know what it was. And
Huh.
like I remember people like building me up for my baptism. They're like, it's gonna be the greatest day of your life, you're gonna be so warm and fuzzy. And it happened, and I was like, that was weird, I'm cold and I'm wet and I wanna go home. There was a bunch of people touching my head and it invaded my personal space. I'm out.
So let's give a little context though, because so you're 17 now,
Yeah.
soon to be 18.
Yeah.
But this event happened 5 years ago,
Yeah.
approximately. Because you were,
Oh man, only 5 years?
but you were, yeah, because it was right before you were joining Young Women's. Because I
Yeah. It
remember,
was like the Saturday before.
I mean, I was dealing with all my stuff, but I was genuinely concerned for you going into Young Women's. And I remember thinking, I need to talk to her about it. Not that I was trying to say, hey, church isn't for me, so what do you say? And then make a sales pitch like you should come join me. I wasn't trying to
Welcome to the
recruit
dark
that
side. We have cookies.
way. We can watch scary movies at home instead of go to church. But I was trying to really just explain myself, and I wanted, at the very least, to let you know that if something were to happen, or if you were going to think about certain things, that you could come to me about that.
Or people were gonna gossip to me about you.
Yeah, right. Well, that too.
Not that that didn't actually happen, but that's actually one of the reasons why I thought you told me. Just in case people started gossiping about you.
Well, but you said that.
They gossip about young women all the time behind her back. All the time.
Well, I know, but You told me that one of the young women leaders, I want to keep her name out of it, but she was the one that stopped you in the hall that you wrote about. Didn't she say a couple things about me?
Probably, but it wouldn't have been like a gossip. It'd be like, so how's your dad doing? And blah, 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 blah.
Oh.
Just checking in rather than like...
Like how many animals has he sacrificed this week? Anyway. All right, so 5 years ago, it was right before you joined Young Women's, I sit you down and talk to you, and that was the event you wanted to talk about.
Yeah.
All right. Which is interesting to me, because all this came to light when you told me about this essay, and honestly, I hadn't really thought too much about that night.
Yeah. Whereas I can't remember exactly everything you said, but I can remember the events leading up to it and what happened after.
Okay, because for me... I mean, I don't know if I ever told you this, but it was like, I mean, I think the reason why you deal with anxiety is because it's a genetic trait for me. So I actually had anxiety trying to find a way to either talk to you about it or bring it to your attention, and then I didn't know how it was going to go. I was really genuinely concerned because I felt like if I was going to, quote, plant a seed... You know, like, oh, my dad doesn't believe anymore. What does that mean? What does that say about him? And that you would judge me in a lot of ways, just like so many other ward members and my friends did. I felt like I was really putting my neck out there.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know how you would handle it or take it. I was scared.
Honestly, from my side, as soon as we started talking about it, I was kind of worried, because I remember some of the stuff talking about, like, how people were reacting in church-wise, made me worried, but then also it was just, like, this huge sigh of relief, because I had been so worried that what I was feeling was just me, and, like, I was broken, or something was wrong, but then you came in here, and you're like, no, this is how I feel, and I was like, I'm not alone!
Wow.
Like, it was just like, oh... Wait, so this is an acceptable feeling. Like, I don't have to automatically accept everything the leaders keep trying to shove at me. Like, I can think critically and decide on my own. So it wasn't that I was, like, judging as a person. I was like, so if he can think for himself, then I can think for myself. Yeah! Touchdown!
Felt like that gave you the green light to...
Like, that was the first moment where I felt like I don't have to automatically accept everything people tell me. It's where I started thinking critically was then. Because even though it was something as minor as religious studies, I felt like, well, you know, my teachers don't always have to be right.
was it that conversation that I remember you asked me what I either believed in now or if I believed in God.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I answered, I don't know. Or that I said I was agnostic. Is that right?
I think it was, I don't know. I remember you and I have had a conversation later on where you said I was agnostic.
Yeah. Do you remember if you told me, well, I don't know either? Or that you said,
I feel that way too.
My memory tells me that you said something like, yeah, I don't know if I believe in God at all.
Mm-hmm.
It was like pretty hard atheist kind of a
approach. Yeah, well, I was pretty sure. That way for a while. It wasn't until I started looking into more of the agnostic belief did I realize, oh yeah, no, I'm more like that.
But I mean, atheists are like, you know, left hand, right hand.
I don't personally believe there is one, but you know, if somebody comes up with the like, more facts or more belief to it, yeah, sure, I'll accept it. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if there was something that spurred on the creation of humans, because it does seem kind of crazy for just a cell to just appear! Whoa, where'd you come from? Like, that does seem kind of crazy, but I like the ability to think about evolution. So, like, I wouldn't be surprised if there was, like, a cataclysmic, like, maybe god-like cosmic event where evolution was started, maybe sped up a little bit. I don't know. Cause I just don't know, and I'm okay with not knowing. And that was where I was. But I was like, I really don't think that there's someone that heavily ingrained in my day-to-day life with, like, the millions of other people.
God? Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about that. Because that just reminds me of Supernatural. I'd be like, God, where were you?
Well, see, that was a big, big exodus from me. Not just from Mormonism, but from the belief of either a Christian God or the daily intervening God. Because, yeah, I mean, once you start to really dive into the problem of evil, I mean, it's a real big universal problem that not a lot of people really think about because there's really no good answer to it.
Yeah.
Like, why do bad things happen to good people?
Yeah.
Or vice versa. And how do you answer that with, is if there really is this divine, daily intervening God who's essentially playing favorites, that's a hard thing to admit. Like, oh, he's going to bless the Joneses up the street, you know, that, you know, are millionaires, and they're going to help them find their keys to their Pathfinder, but they're not going to help the family down the street that are trying to get food on the table.
Yeah, I talked to one of my friends, and she described it as, like, the world was like a marble track. She was like, well, this is how I see it. Like, you know, we're all marbles going down the track. And if one of us gets stuck, well, obviously we keep going. We don't just stop there forever. She's like, so that's where I think that he comes in and can fix stuff so we can all keep going and fixing it for other people. I was like, yeah, okay, I can kind of see that. I can see how that would work. Not super involved.
But it,
like,
still raises the question, why doesn't he get more involved?
I don't know.
Because if you can pick spots, like, oh, they need help here, I'll push them along. Like,
it reminds me of my job. Oh. Like, legitimately. I joked, because I just run a simulation from behind the scenes in, like, a little broom closet. And there's, like, speakers and microphones so I can talk to them. And I'm like, yeah, you know, when you hear the voice from above, blah, 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 like, wait, so you're God?
I can be if you'd like. Dun, dun, dun.
But it's the same way. They have a story, and as they're going, it's only when they absolutely can go no further, you've done messed up, children, that I stop them with my mystical God powers and boom from the speakers in the ceiling. So just, you have failed. Let us try again.
So just for context, my daughter, she works at the local space center here as one of the flight directors. And so when kids come in and they run a space mission or simulation, she's kind of the behind-the-scenes know-it-all.
The Wizard of Oz. Yeah, don't look behind the curtain.
That's running the mission and all the music and the things that happen on their screens and all that stuff, which is pretty cool. Because I got to observe it. It's pretty cool.
So why don't I interfere more? Because I want them to figure it out on their own. But sometimes they're too thick to figure it out on their own.
Okay, but if you want to take that, so if you saw two of the kids try to kill each other.
Oh, yeah, no, we stop right
there. Yeah, so, okay, then translate that into the God.
That's actually happened. Not, like, kill each other, but they've jumped on staff before, and I just had to, like, stop and be like, hey, guys, do you remember the rule is to not hurt each other?
Right.
See, we even have rules. These are my commandments. Do not hurt yourself, do not hurt others, and do not hurt my ship.
Anyway, all right, we'll fast forward past the God stuff. I think that could go on forever. Yeah, all right, probably. So let's go back to that first meeting, right? That I was sweating bullets. I remember, like, not sleeping at all that night because I was really worried. I mean, the night or the day that I came out to your mom was really, really rough. I don't remember how early that was, but there was two or three situations. It was really, really sad and scary and hard for both of us. But weathered the storm, and she's, you know, slowly but surely been more and more accepting, you know. And one of the really good things is that she's accepting that I can talk to you very openly and honestly, and you get to be who you are. Without her saying, you can forget that. You're going to go to church whether you like it or not.
That's kind of happened a few times, though.
It has. Especially, but, you know, on the times where you and I don't go to church for a long period of time.
Like right now.
She gets fed up. And she's like, this isn't fair. I thought this was supposed to be a 50-50 thing. What?
I don't want it to be a 50-50. I'm very, very done.
Do you hate the fact that I submit?
No, it's your choice.
Okay.
I don't have any say in your life.
No, but if I'm asking your input.
I think it's fine. You be you, man. I'm just 100% done. It's terrible. But when, you know, little sis has her primary programs, I don't want to go. I know it's supportive of her, yeah, but it's supportive how?
Because she feels pride, or she wants, it's a moment for her to essentially shine. I know what you're saying, and I know what you're thinking. I'm the same way, but the thing is this is a time in her life that she feels it's important. And so we need to...
Like, if they stopped giving her parts, she wouldn't care.
No,
It's them pulling her in, because she doesn't go to church when they assign them. They'll come bring them to the house to give them to her, to drag her back to go.
Right. But I do think that she enjoys it. I do think that she's very different than you are. She likes
likes the attention. She doesn't really know what she's saying, which bothers me.
Well, to some extent. But that's a different issue. Yeah, because let's not forget that you were doing the exact same thing at her age.
And I hated them.
Well,
I hated it.
But remember, you're still pretty young. You don't actually get to see both sides and really get to identify differently. So I feel like I'm getting off track, because I understand that it can appear as a form of brainwashing, right?
Oh, I wasn't even thinking that far. I was just thinking me being introverted, I hated getting up in front of
introverted.
The ward.
Oh, yeah, okay.
I hated that.
Okay, but when you're in class... Did you hate that when they're teaching lessons?
I just thought it was weird.
You just didn't agree with?
I was annoyed. I was like, I just went to school for 5 days, and now I'm in school again for a completely different topic. Right. I was just annoyed.
But the information?
It was information like school is information.
Okay. So you're just absorbing it regardless of...
Yeah. Okay. I didn't know any better.
Yeah, see...
I learned all the prophets, I learned all the stories, I couldn't care less one way or the other, just like I couldn't care about half the presidents I memorized for...
So there was two big things I remember on my mind, the reason why I came to you when I did. One, I mean, you're a very special person in all sorts of ways, but...
Ouch.
That's a compliment.
Oh, I'm special.
No, but that you actually pick up on things really quickly. You're very thoughtful. Like you said, the critical thinking mechanism in your brain was turned on earlier than most. And I'm including myself. I didn't turn that part on until I got in my 30s, but whatever. I had it, but I ignored it. I kept the fuse box off for a long time. So when I came to you, I remember thinking that going into Young Women, everything was going to shift for you substantially. And you did go to Young Women for quite a while, right? What's quite a while, though? About a year? 2 years?
On and off for about a year.
Yeah.
But
so after
that first day was terrible. I was just completely out of my element. It was bad. So I didn't super enjoy going back. The only reason I went was because they would let me play the piano and hide behind the piano. And so that way I could, like, keep to myself. I didn't have to interact with anyone. I didn't have to teach any lessons. I didn't have to participate in any lessons. I just could sit behind the piano and play all the songs.
You did have some friends.
Yeah.
And,
until they moved.
But, yeah, so... I don't know. Why don't we talk about the experience that you mentioned in your essay? How much longer was that?
That was...
Because in my mind, it wasn't that
much
longer.
Well, I switched leaders like 3 times.
Yeah.
So it was... I think it was like... winter of 2012.
Didn't they make you like beehive...
They kept trying to make me president and stuff because we literally didn't have anyone else. It was either me or Casper the Friendly Ghost. And Casper rose male and didn't count. Like, that was it. And I went to a couple of those meetings, being the BHAC president, and I couldn't stand it. Half of the meeting was gossiping about the girls who were inactive or weren't there.
Right.
And I couldn't stand it, and I was done. And so, as soon as I got the chance, I just stopped going to all the meetings. Pretty soon, I got released from whatever the heck that calling was. And then they kept trying to ask me to come back for, like, my maid president. And I was like, no. I don't want anything to do with it. And then I started... stop going into stuff altogether. Oh, yeah, but...
So lead up to when...
You know, she was the president at the time.
Young women's president.
Uh-huh. Wonderful person.
Are you being sarcastic?
No. Oh, okay. She, her heart was in the right place, I think.
I think so.
That was not the right way to go about it at all.
Agreed. It actually burned me pretty hard.
She was worried about me, but that... I don't want to use the word because it should be used for more serious situations, but that, like, traumatized me. Just complete... Oh, man. Oh, that scared me so bad. I don't know. I remember I came home and I was in tears.
I was with you.
Well, you left, and then I came home right after, because she stopped me. Well,
yeah, do you want to talk... How it all...
Ugh, so, you and I had an agreement. We would go to church, we'd go for sacrament, and we'd go home.
Right.
And it was one of those times, and I tried really, really hard to not get seen by any of the young women or any of the young women in presidency, because I knew every time I did, they'd be like, oh, where are you going?
Right,
like,
they're trying to love
you. I want you to come back. Right. I'm like, okay, you guys want to be my friends, but I really don't want to be around you. Anyway, so I was leaving... And it was, like, lighthearted anyways. So, you and I were walking out. And then, she came down the hallway-esque towards the lobby. She saw me, and she's like, hey, where are you going? And I was like, oh, I'm just going with my dad. And, she's like, hey, can I talk to you for a sec? And I was like, yeah, okay, I guess. And then I think you were just like, I'll see you at home. And then you left, and... Or you were starting to leave or something along those lines. I think you waited for like a minute before you left.
Yeah, because I didn't know if you were going to change your mind or what.
Yeah, so walked to the hallway just out of sight of the lobby. And she pinned me against the wall. So I was my back to the wall, hand on each side of my head. And she's like, where are you going? I was like, my dad's just over there. And I kept trying to, like, duck under her, and she kept moving. So I was trapped. And that scared me really bad. Because I have my anxieties where I have to have an escape route. I have to have an exit because I get scared so fast. And so I'm, like, freaking out internally, but completely calm on the outside. She's like, well... God needs you here. You're letting him down. You're disappointing him. He needs you here for you and your dad. And I was like, well, my dad's waiting for me. Well, you're disappointing God. Like, he has such high hopes for you. And I was like, well, I don't care. Just let me go. Like, how could I be disappointing someone I don't believe in? But I was trapped. It was very, very frightening.
Well, it was a turning point, right?
That I was done. I had been going fairly frequently, and it was okay. But after that point, I didn't want anything to do with it. Because I was like, if I'm just leaving church 2 hours early, and that's what they're going to do, I don't want to know what's going to happen if I go to an activity again. So, I refused. I think I put up a fight with you a couple times. I was like, I'm not going to church.
Yeah.
For at least a month. And then,
And I let that happen.
But then, you guys still wanted me to go. And I still was terrified. And it's still why I really don't want to go, is because I'm still scared, even though she's left the ward. I'm still terrified.
Well, Mom wanted you to go. Because she had a very good experience in Young Women's, and she felt like you were going to miss out on that.
And I was too scared to go.
Right.
Honestly, I still walking into the church building, I can, like, look down the hallway, and I'm still, like, anxiety. I get really scared. I get really nervous. I feel like I need to find my exit. Always walk in and check to make sure the door is still behind me. Like, I can still get out if I need to.
Right.
I just don't feel good anymore. I don't feel safe in that church building.
Well, it was so inappropriate for her to lay that kind of a guilt trip on you and to essentially try to drive a wedge between you and me or whatever. And didn't, was it her that wrote a note? Who was it that wrote the note?
What note?
There was a note that either she gave to you that was essentially the same along the lines. You let me read it.
Oh, I don't. I think I deleted that from my memory and probably threw it away, like.
I think it was her and her counselors. Probably. Because I know it was the same one. But the wording was very similar.
Yeah.
And she referenced me in there? No memory?
I think I probably, like, burned that from my memory because I did not want anything to do with her. Even though she seemed like a really nice person, and, like, I think I'm even still friends with her on Facebook, even. But I just can't. I just can't. I can't trust young women leaders. I can't trust the church building. I can't trust. Anyways, that was a huge breach for me, and at that point, I was done. And it's, like, not even, like, a super big thing. So a lot of other people have got these, like, really big stories of things that have happened. Mine was super little, but just for me, at the state of mind I was in,
well,
that was it. That was the final breaking point for me.
Well, because you were, in your mind, you know, either mentally and emotionally, you were pretty much unplugged from Mormonism, right?
Yeah.
And so you were going as a form of compromise or, okay, yeah, sure, and so, you know, you were hanging on by a thread anyways.
Yeah.
So, in a way, this was a big deal, but it was just that one little snip of that thread. And you're just like, that's it? Like, not that you were looking for a reason to actually say, I'm absolutely done with you,
yeah,
church. But, you know, that's what it was, and that's what it was.
That was it for me. I was done.
So, why don't you talk a little bit about, when you look at it in hindsight, was it a positive experience, whether it was just that one me coming out to you? Was you look at that with fondness? Like, explain how you look at it now.
I think of it as, like, if I were to write a memoir, that moment would probably be in it.
Really?
Because it, like, I mean, I wrote my essay on it. It was a changing point for me in my life. It was me realizing I'm not alone. Me realizing that I can think for myself. Because that moment when you came and talked to me, it was like, I think it was probably one of the first meetings you and I had, like, where I felt like you were treating me as an adult. Because you're being like, well, this is what's going on in my life. I feel like I need to come talk to you if you want to talk to me about anything like that. And it wasn't like, I felt like I was an individual.
See, I felt like I might have been overwhelming you.
Oh, no.
And I also felt like, in a way, that I was putting myself in a very vulnerable position.
But, I mean, that's, adults have that type of conversation.
Yeah.
Where one can open themselves up to the other.
Yeah.
And it made me feel good that you trusted me like that.
Always have.
And that was a huge moment for me. It was like, wow, like, my dad trusts me with something really big that's going on in his life. Because, like, I'd seen little bits of, like, you talking to Mom and stuff like that, but behind closed doors, and I knew something was going on. I didn't know what it was, and I didn't know the extent. But when you sat down and told me, I felt like I was growing up. Like, this was...
Did you want that? I mean, did you want to feel like you were growing up?
Well, I've always felt like I'm older than my years.
True.
all of my friends tell me that, and people are continually surprised. I'm like, yeah, I'm 17. They're like, what? How did that happen? How are you 17?
You gotta be like 21.
Well, did you like skip a grade? Yeah, I skipped kindergarten. Not even that impressive.
I was so smart when I was real little.
Yeah, it just screwed me over. Dang it. But yeah, well, I appreciate having that, like, trust and that responsibility. And so, yeah, that was, like, the first time officially where I felt like I can think for myself.
So what's it been like since then? And you mentioned some of that in your essay where, mm-hmm. and even you mentioned it a little bit earlier where, you know, you've kind of gone from extreme atheist to a little bit more agnostic.
Yeah.
And you've even gone to church a handful of times with me, but, you know, on very limited situations.
Yeah, I just don't want to be there, so I decrease the time there as much as possible.
Yeah, well, I hear you there. But, but how's it been for you personally since then? Do you have any, by the way, side note real quick.
Yeah.
Do you have any memories of the Young Women's Camp?
Girls Camp?
Girls Camp, yeah.
Yeah.
Because that happened, was it after?
During.
Was it during?
Because I couldn't go until I was 12.
Was it before or after the hallway intervention?
I went before. I remember going Girls twice.
Camp was before?
Before.
That?
And then I had been planning on going. And then that happened, and...
So our conversation happened before Girls Camp.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it'd have to be 12, and I had just turned 12. But then I had a Girls Camp, and then I just happened to have a tennis camp. That was the same week, and they're like, well, you're going to have to pick. And I was like, ha! Tennis! Ha! Tennis wins! Tennis! Yeah! I was so excited. My tennis camp was the same week, so I had an excuse. And then the week after, I was, oh, sorry, you know, I'm busy. I've got work. I can't go this year. And I was out. I was done. Which, I really enjoyed Girls Camp. I mean, of course, I would accidentally forget the scriptures, so I couldn't do scripture study,
right.
Air quotes. They'd always give us, like, a journal, like, write down your thoughts, and my journals always came home empty, because we'd have scripture time, and I would sit there, and I would get ready for bed, and I would go to sleep. The only thing I enjoyed was the hikes. I adored the hikes. Everyone was throwing a fit, like, oh, I have to get up so early. Yeah, I mean, I'm joining in with the chorus of, it's so early. Oh, hiking up the mountain and seeing the sunrise, and that was awesome. I do remember you coming to Girls Camp that one time. That was the highlight of the whole week. smuggling me sweets. That was awesome.
Do you remember the testimony meeting?
Bits and pieces. I remember you.
Bits and pieces?
And then the guy that came with you.
Brother.
Yeah, he was awesome.
I might have to delete that name, but...
Yeah, I remember you and the brother that came with you, because that was the highlight. I was like, yeah! Don't remember what we talked about during that meeting, but I was just excited you were there, because I was like, yeah, I'm not alone anymore! Woo! Because it was always so awkward, just the prayers, and then... Man, we'd have meetings where they would share, like, the darkest, most parts of their hearts. And just, oh my gosh, some of the stories they had were crazy. I remember one story of someone saying they went to sleep over with their friend, and the next morning they woke up and their friend had passed away in their sleep. Just like a sleepover as teens. And I was just, like, completely like, oh my gosh, that's crazy. And some of the other girls that were, you know, less active but would suddenly become insanely spiritual while we were at girls' camp would tell their stories. And I'm over here with, like, my aunt moved and took my best friend cousins away and I don't know what to do. Because the last time I did that was the year that the family stuff had been going on. When aunt moved down to Alton.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
When that happened, I was all sad because I missed my best friend cousins. And I have this nasty habit of sometimes when I cry, I'll start snorting. And so I got to the point where I was so in tears over it that I was snorting and no one could take me seriously. And I vowed after that moment that I was never going to share anything ever again.
Really? To anyone?
Yeah. No, they didn't care. A lot of girls would, you know, everyone is dead silent as we go around and share our stories.
Yeah.
And I shared mine because it was what was bothering me at the time. And stupid habit of snorting. Thank you. Wonderful makeup there to just cry so hard I'm snorting. And then they would start whispering to each other. No one could look at me. And they'd all just look like they were bored.
They might not have been.
They might not have been, but from what I could tell, like, after people would tell their stories, people would give them support afterwards, and I didn't get anything.
Hmm.
Maybe it was just because my story was not as deep and emotionally scarring as everyone else's. But I was still really affected by it at the time, and just, I don't know if it's true or not, but I just felt like nobody cared. I was like, all right, my stories are not, you know, as powerful enough as everyone else's, so I'm just going to keep them to myself now. And then skits were terrible. Freaking hated those. But again, that's just me being introverted and not, like, getting up and making a fool of myself in front of other people.
But I remember what my recollection was, is that during that testimony meeting, they were going around and everybody was supposed to
bear
their testimony. And there was one girl there that was incredibly inactive, and she, you know, got burned by the spirit and was essentially bearing her testimony, which...
Yep, that's the power of Girl Scout. Well, it's happened multiple times, so I can't remember exactly who it is, but I wouldn't be surprised, because it happens every year.
But she essentially said, I don't know if the church is true, but what I felt here has made me think that the church might be true, sort of thing. So it was kind of it was the most wishy-washy of all the testimonies.
Yeah.
There was a lot of, I'm not sure, I haven't believed, but now I'm thinking I do.
Yeah.
Anyway, but I remember that it was just going around, and I could see that you were just, like, dying. And so, I don't know if you remember, but I spoke up, and I said, I don't believe. Do you remember that?
I remember getting really quiet.
Everybody was quiet.
Because I remember being insanely uncomfortable every time that would happen. Just incredibly uncomfortable. But I remember you said something. I just can't remember what it was.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, I don't believe. It was like I was bearing my not testimony. Because I don't know. It was my way of following that girl's wishy-washy testimony.
Just a step down?
Because I was like, hey, it's okay to not believe. At least I think so, because that's where I'm at.
Yeah.
Anyway. Well, thanks for sharing that. I have been so stressed about that experience, and I still worry that it was the right call, that it was the right decision, because as soon as that happened, you know, my whole life changed.
Well, if you never told me, then we wouldn't have the connection that we have.
You don't think? Come on.
Because I would feel like you're keeping a secret from me.
Oh, yeah.
And if you couldn't trust me with whatever it was, how could I trust you with stuff going on in my life?
I guess I was reading that as if I was if I didn't have my crisis, then I was still plugged in.
No. I don't think that was a problem. Well, because if you hadn't, then I would still be stuck in church. Because I never would have left.
You don't think? I think. Yeah, I don't know.
I might have.
That's hard to decide. I don't know.
I hate confrontation. I hate it. And so I would keep my questions to myself. I'd just be like, well, this is what everyone else does.
And...
yeah, this is what everyone else does, so I guess I better too.
Yeah.
I'd keep going to bring girls' camp. Probably be like a leader by this point. Ugh. Now my friends are like, come with us to Singles War. I'm like, no, thanks. I'm not kidding.
Well, yeah, and tonight's FHE.
Oh, my. Oh, man. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Dang it. I'm missing out on the FHE. Oh, man, I was so happy when we stopped doing that. It was so awkward.
When you told me this afternoon when we went and had lunch that one of your close friends said when she first ran into you, she thought you were not Mormon.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. And, like, I met her, what, when I was 13? So, like, a year after that happened?
Yeah, that's
hilarious. Don't know. I didn't think I was showing signs.
It could have been all your heathenistic t-shirts you were wearing.
Or maybe it was the friends I were with because they were both super Mormon.
Yeah, they were.
But they were also having a fight by that point. I should have seen that fight coming, man. Should have seen it. Anyways.
Well, thanks for... thanks for so many things, but just thanks for not, I don't know, judging me and sending me by the wayside, honestly. When I put my neck out there, you could have cut it off. And I was...
Yeah, but that takes so much effort.
Lifting the axe and everything.
Oh, man, that's just... I mean, I'm working on my upper body strength, but I just am not there yet.
No, but thanks. And I'm... Honestly, I'm... I've told you this plenty of times, but I sincerely am super proud of who you are. Even back then, I was over the moon with the kind of person that you are, and seeing the potential has always made me just super impressed and proud. Always. It's like, I just want to make sure that I want to carve the path out in front of you so whatever you wanted to do, you could. You know? That's it. We can love you more than anything.
Oh, thanks.
Anything you wanted to say or finish up with?
No. I mean, that's basically it.
Say, please subscribe to us.
Please subscribe to us.
On iTunes.
On iTunes.
And give us feedback.
And give us feedback.
We like 5 stars.
We like 5 stars.
And go to Infants on Thrones.
And go to Infants on Thrones.
Infants on Thrones.
Yes!
.com.
.com.
That's our website.
Please invite us, because this is me and Daddy speaking. Please listen to us. Goodbye.
1. Please consider donating to us for as little as $1 an episode through Patreon. You can find us at patreon.com/infants. Thanks for listening, and thank you so much for your support.
Thank you for listening to Infants on Thrones.